Bruchim Aboim and welcome to part 21 of our series on Bitochen. Last week we mentioned that tonight would be the last night. There's been a bit of a change of plan. It won't be. Next week, Mitz Hashem, will be the last night. Tonight, Be'ezus Hashem, we will actually finish learning, sort of, the Cheves Avov Shara Bitochen. And Be'ezus Hashem, next week, will be really an overview of the Yesodos that we have learned. And Be'ezus Hashem will try and connect it also to the upcoming Yom Tov of Pesach. We're actually up to Perek Hei, the fifth out of seven prokim in the Cheves Avov Shara Bitochen. Perek Dalad, which is the perek we've been on for a couple of months now, is the most lengthy of all the prokim in the Shara Bitochen, and the reason is because that's where the Cheves Avovos went through every aspect of life. Beruchnius Ubegashmius, guiding us to what the synthesis of Bitochen and Hishtadlus must always be. Whether it's our attitude towards business or health, wealth, survival, relatives, family, mitzvahs, olam haba, etc., etc. That's why that perek was so lengthy. The Cheves Avovos finishes off the Shara Bitochen with three brief prokim, and we're going to try and learn them all tonight, as mentioned, and make a conclusion, a siyum, on the Shara Bitochen. By way of introduction to the fifth perek, I want to go all the way back, literally, to the very opening line of the Cheves Avovos Shara Habitochen. The Shara Habitochen, the Cheves Avovos writes there that the reason why he is compiling a sefer called Shara Habitochen, if you look at it, if anybody has a Cheves Avovos in front of them, it's in the first line of the Psicha. And he says, because the previous perek, the previous Shara, was one called Shar Avoidas HaElokim, about being an Eved Hashem. Says the Cheves Avovos, I felt it therefore necessary to follow that up with what in fact is the most crucial tool to become an Eved Hashem. Having told you at great length about the importance of being an Eved Hashem, what is the most vital tool? What is the most important key in becoming that Eved Hashem? And that is Bitochen. That's why I have followed up the Shar Avoidas HaElokim with the Shar HaBitochen. That line, when you think about it, is a very, very crucial and revealing line, and I'll explain why. Not only does it firmly centralize the whole aspect of Bitochen, and it teaches us how crucial it is. It's not just a nice, extra, luxury midah, but it really is the dominant midah required to be an Eved Hashem. But there's something else which also strikes us when we read that line of the Shara Bitochen, and that is, there is perhaps room for a misunderstanding on the role of Bitochen in our lives. And the misunderstanding is as follows. One could wrongly assume that Bitochen, as important as it is a necessary tool, and we've referred to this in the past, is a necessary tool on the day that I struggle, when difficulties arise in my life. So all of a sudden I'm hit with Nisyonos in Parnosa or Refuah or Shalom Bayis or whatever it may be, that's when Bitochen will play a critical role and play a critical role, and it's so important to feel that I am in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc., etc. When, however, the going is good and everything seems to be Baruch Hashem plain sailing, well then Bitochen doesn't play a role at all. Why is it necessary to experience that tranquility and that feeling of the young child in the arms of the mother, etc., etc.? Everything is going fine and dandy without Bitochen as well. That's a terrible mistake. How do I know it's a mistake? Because if the Cheves Avovos explains to us that the most important key, the most important tool in becoming an Eved Hashem is Bitochen, one is an Eved Hashem in all situations. It is not required to be an Eved Hashem only when the going gets tough. So one and one is two. If the Chovos HaLevavos tells you that the most important tool in being an Eved Hashem is Bitochin, and if we know that being an Eved Hashem is a 24/7 project, then clearly Bitochin is also a 24/7 project. And it guides every aspect of my life, not just on that day that a difficulty arises, but I'm nonetheless able to retain my tranquility because I have Bitochin, and then things settle down so I don't need to employ Bitochin anymore. No. My whole life, when things are easy, when things are not so easy, is a life of Bitochin. With that introduction, we now begin the fifth perek. The fifth perek in the Chovos HaLevavos, and again we're going to try and do this briefly because I'd like to try and finish this tonight. The Chovos HaLevavos says that look at the difference between somebody who does his hishtaglus as a Baal Bitochin, as opposed to somebody who does his hishtadlus without a Baal, without Bitochin. Meaning, the Chovos HaLevavos has taught us at great length that there is a chiyuv to do hishtadlus, whether it's beruchnius in order to be mekayim mitzvahs, whether it's begashmius in order to earn parnasa, to look after my health, my family, etc., etc. Bitochin is not something that accompanies my hishtadlus. It is not that I am doing my hishtadlus on the one hand, but I mustn't forget also to be a Baal Bitochin. It's not in addition to. Rather, I am doing my hishtadlus as a Baal Bitochin. Not in addition to having Bitochin, I also do hishtadlus. I am mishtadel as a Baal Bitochin. That manifests itself in the way that I do my hishtadlus. My hishtadlus, both in action and in attitude, is different because I am that Baal Bitochin. But again, this is based on what we said before. Because Bitochin is my guiding light in any situation. In all situations. Good days, easy days, not so easy days. It's something which is all encompassing. Therefore, every time I'm involved in any aspect of my Avodas Hashem, whether it's davening in shul or entering the office, it's all done as a Baal Bitochin. Says the Chovos HaLevavos, we will see therefore briefly that this manifests itself in many different ways. One way, for example, is how indeed does he react to when things don't quite go his way. Then, of course, it is most poignant. The one who is mishtadel, not as a Baal Bitochin, so when things go badly, when things don't quite go as planned, of course, who takes the blame? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fault. When things go well, who's the one who takes credit? Myself. Look at my tremendous business prowess. What a smart move it was to invest here, to take money out there. All of this has brought about a tremendous hatzlacha. The one who is being mishtadil as a Baal Bitochin, then, as we've mentioned in the past, a good day, a bad day, there's no real thing as a good day, as a bad day. Every day was a day of Avodas Hashem. I enter the office, or the laboratory, or the surgery, or wherever it is, I do my hishtadlus as an Eved Hashem. And I was doing so because I firmly believe that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. Whether things worked out as I would have liked, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's department. That has nothing to do with me. Everything is being guided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say every single day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, as has been pointed out by the commentators, Hashem and Elokeinu. Hashem is, of course, the Midas Horachamim. Elokeinu, Midas Hadin, but ultimately Hashem Echad. It all comes from one source. Sometimes things are easy, and sometimes things are not so easy. And indeed, on occasion one experiences the Midas Hadin, and on others, the Midas HaRachamim. The one who is Mishtadil as a Baal Bitochen realizes and understands and feels that it's all coming from the same source. It's all coming from the same source. Therefore, says the Chovos HaLevavos, he lives with this word that the Chovos HaLevavos has referred to countless times, B'menucha. V'liboy sholev. Sholev from the word shalva. Tranquility. Again, things don't quite work out sometimes. He says, the one who is not a Baal Bitochen, listen to these words. V'asher einenu boiteach v'loikim. Somebody who's not boiteach b'kodosh baruch hu, who betza'ar, todir, udaiga, he's always worried, he's always in distress, ve'evel, ve'etzev. Why would that be? I understand when things go badly, then he gets very moody and upset, but why when things go well, why is he upset then? Why is he betza'ar? You'll remember, we discussed this right in the beginning of the Sefer, when he spoke about the Baal Alchemia, the alchemist, who seems at the surface to be somebody who is so mesudar, as they call it in Ivrit, everything going for him. One needs to know that the alchemist lives in constant fear and in constant worry. Even when the millions are rolling in, he's always worried, 1 second, maybe I should have invested differently, I earned 1 million, I could have earned 2. And maybe somebody will take my money away, and maybe I'll have competitors, and maybe I'll be caught. That's the life. That's the pathetic existence of the Einoi Boiteach Beloikim. Not in addition to, the way that I do my Ishtadlus is as a Baal Bitochen. I'm entering the office today because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. In which case, by definition, it's a successful day. When things work out for me, they don't work out, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's department. As I think we've mentioned in the past, it was said in Yiddish by the great Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He said, Mir darfen ton, nicht oifton. Our job is to do, not to achieve. And inasmuch as we are convinced, if indeed that is the case, that my ishtadlus for Parnassah, for example, is in fact Rotzein Hashem, then by definition, it is a successful day in the office. There's no room for tsar, there's no room for daiga. He says, therefore, another manifestation of one who is mishtadil as a Baal Bitochen, when he enters the office, again, I'm just using the office as a moshel, but any area of ishtadlus, whatever it may be, I'm not involved in business, I'm involved in avodas Hashem. No less avodas Hashem than when I go to daven or when I go to learn. It's a completely different attitude. Like we said, it's not in addition to. It's the Hishtadlus Bitochen style. So when I enter my office, I start my Hishtadlus for the day. What in fact are you doing? What am I doing? I'm now embarking on a mitzvah. Which mitzvah? This morning I did a mitzvah putting on tefillin. I did another mitzvah called tefillah. I'm now doing another mitzvah for the day, which is Hishtadlus in Parnassah. So therefore, by definition, it's a win-win situation. The Chovos HaLevavos says a most incredible thing. A quite unbelievable thing. And I want to read you the words because they're so incredible. He says there's another difference between the Baal Bitochen and the Einoi Baal Bitochen. And he says, Ki haboiteach beloikim, hu ohuv lechol kitois bnei odom. Somebody who's a Baal Bitochen is loved by everybody. Umishe einoi boiteach beloikim, ein loy oihev. Nobody loves him. This is a quite staggering line. I think everybody knows the famous book. I think it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. Dale Carnegie. Lahavdil elef alfei havdolos, The Chayvus Alvavus is telling you, do you know how to win friends? By being a Baal Bitochen. And the opposite, if somebody is not a Baal Bitochen, then you need to know, as the Chayvus Alvavus says, Mishe einoi boiteach beiloi kim, if you're not boiteach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein loi oihev, nobody loves a person like that. Do you know why? Rabbi Yisrael, we're closing all the corners now. We're bringing this whole sefer to a conclusion. Because the existence of a Baal Bitochen is one of Menucha. The existence of a non-Baal Bitochen is somebody who's always tense, is always worried, he's always in distress. Basically, he's not a pleasant person to be with. He's always looking after his, always looking over his shoulder. Are people trying to take my money away? Competition. He's not a geschmacka person to be with. He's always on edge. He's always convinced that his money was taken by others. Somebody who's a Baal Bitochen, neither am I trying to win other people's favor, nor do I have this life's notion that others are out to get me. That's a pleasant person to live with. And one therefore needs to know that the opposite is true as well. If you feel that there is somebody who is just unpleasant to be with, then one has to wonder, maybe that indeed comes from a lack of bitochen on their part. And that's why they're just not a geschmacka person to be with. How to win friends, an unbelievable statement. How to be a loved person, says the Chayvus Alvavus, is by being a Baal Bitochen. I'm tranquil, I'm calm, I'm serene, I'm not easy to anger, I'm not easy to get offended or upset or insulted. That's the type of person that others want to be friendly with. This, therefore, says the Chayvus Alvavus, is another crucial difference between the one who is mishtadil as a Baal Bitochen, as opposed to somebody who isn't. Says the Chayvus Alvavus, and with this he morphs seamlessly into Perek Vav. There exists the concept of the type of person that the Chayvus Alvavus calls Balei Mashkoinos. What's a Balei Mashkoinos? We all know what a Mashkin is. A Mashkin is a collateral. I lend somebody money, $1 million. How do I know he's going to pay me back? So I ask him for some sort of pledge, some sort of collateral that he's going to leave with me, that I have something to rely on. Says the Chayvus Alvavus, there are some people who, through a lack of bitochin, the way they relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu owes them something and they take a pledge from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's that pledge? They strike a deal with the Ribbono Shel Olam. What's that deal? The deal that they strike, whether consciously or otherwise, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, I'd love to spend time learning. And of course, I'd love to be more hours in the Beis HaMedrash. However, I first need financial security until the end of my days. So I'm first going to ensure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's see you do your part of the deal. All you need to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is deposit $10 million in my bank account. That way I have financial security for as long as I live, and then finally I will get round to learning and to treating my Avodas Hashem with more seriousness. That's why these people are called Balei Mashkoinos. They're taking a mashkin from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a pledge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want me to be Avod Hashem? First, let's see the pledge. Deposit in my bank account a mashkin. So the Chayvus Alvavus in Perek Vav talks about the foolishness of an attitude like that. For obvious reasons. The mashkin is taken from someone who indeed owes you something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't owe us anything. So by definition, this whole mindset is fundamentally flawed. It's fundamentally flawed for other reasons as well. At which point will you finally decide that you have financial security? 5 million? 10 million? Don't Chazal say, Mishi Yeshloi Mone Reitzem Osayim? Do you genuinely believe that a certain number will flash up on your computer screen when you check your bank balance, and that's when you'll say, okay, enough's enough, and I'm now going to the Beis HaMedrash? The whole plan is flawed to start with. Says the Chodesh Alvavus. Can you imagine if a borrower borrows money from a lender, but actually this borrower has lent the lender thousands of times in the past, and in fact the lender owes him much more than the borrower owes the lender? Wouldn't it be the most absurd thing if the lender says to the borrower, please deposit with me a pledge because you owe me money? One second. I owe you money? You owe me 10 million back from previous loans that are still outstanding. How absurd it is to demand from me to take a pledge. Says the Chovas Avovas, this is exactly what's happened with the Baalei Mashkoines. As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu owes them anything, not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not owe them anything, but we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu a lot before we've even started. Are we such perfect Oivdei Hashem that we can start striking a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I will commit myself to more learning when I finally have that financial security. I know somebody, I don't want to mention his name, but I think you all know him, who davens in the Groshul. And he told me, maybe 10 years ago or so, that when he first came to Beit Shemesh from America, he set up a business with which he was hoping that would be the source of his parnasa. He once had a discussion with the Rav, Rav Kornfeld, and Rav Kornfeld says to him, tell me, when do you learn? So he said to Rav Kornfeld, he said, I must be honest, at the moment I'm not learning at all. But I have a whole plan. I'm putting all my efforts, all my energy, every last ounce of strength, every last second into setting up this business of mine. And it'll be a worthwhile investment, because my plan is that if things go well, I'll be able eventually to take my foot off the gas, as it were. I'll have other employees who will be able to carry out the work. And eventually, I'll be able to go to the Beis HaMedrash and spend more time there. Rav Kornfeld says, there's no such thing. V'hogisa boy yoimom v'laylo. You've got to at least, he says to him, learn a little bit during the day and a little bit at night, every day without fail. He says to Rav Kornfeld, excuse me, with all due respect, I don't think you're quite a business person. I don't think you understand how you run a business. You can't be half in, half out. The minute I start a bit a few minutes here and a bit a few minutes there means my head is not completely in the business, and that pulls to pieces my whole plan. My whole plan is to spend 6 months, a year, however long it takes, absolutely, beguf, benefesh, remach evorim, shesor gidim, absolutely everything, every part of me invested in my business, so that eventually, in the long term, it will really be kedai, it'll be worth my while. Rav Kornfeld was unmoved, and he says, I'm paskening for you that this is osa to do. You've got to learn 5 or 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at night. He told me this person, Ashrehem, kol hakavod to him, he followed Rav Kornfeld's advice. And he learned the 10 minutes in the morning and the 10 minutes at night. And the 10 minutes in the morning soon became 20, and then 30, and then became an hour. And he said to me, I began noticing a very strange phenomena. I was learning more, I was working less, and my income was not being reduced in any way whatsoever. Until such point, he tells me, and this is the last time I spoke to him about this, I'm learning now a full night seder, a full morning seder, and I work between 2 and 6 in the afternoon, and I happen to know he's doing extremely well in his parnasa. So what's the alternative? Exactly the phenomena that the Chovas Avovas talks about. Balei Mashkoinos. I strike a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm first going to invest all my energy in my business, and then I will get round to learning. We don't do deals with God. That's the Balei Mashkoinos. That's the attitude of a non-Baal Bitochin. And luckily he had a Rav who straightened him out. And he's seen much Siyata Dishmai and Hatzlocha as a result. The Chodesh Halvavos then begins his final perek, Perek Zayin, in which he concludes the Sefer, and he tells us that having said everything, having learned Perek Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hay, and Vav, but Bitochin is not a step. It's a process. It's a process that comprises many steps. And he gives the moshel. He gives the moshel of the young child. The young child who knows nothing but his mother. So all his bitochin is invested in his mother. And as his horizons begin to expand, he suddenly realizes there's a father in the picture as well. So he's boiteach in the father as well. And then he gets a little bit older and he realizes that outside of the family there are others as well. There's my Rebbe, and there's my doctor, and there's my friends. And the more mature he becomes, and the more he develops as a human being, he comes to that conclusion that actually, my mother, my father, my doctor, my friends, my Rebbe, but there's one source. And they're all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are all the shluchim that have been sent to look after me and to take care of my needs. Beroiv chaste HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But with that maturity and with that experience in life, he comes to that inescapable conclusion and realization that ultimately there is nobody else to rely on. Ein lonu al mi lihishoen elo alovino shebashomayim. He brings a frightening story. He says the story is told about somebody who was a sofer. He was a scribe. And he said, as long as my hand is okay, I'm guaranteed financially. And that day he was involved in a terrible accident where his hand was severed. If you're boiteach in your hand, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes has to shake us up and send us a very bitter reminder that no, you have to boiteach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think we once mentioned in the past the wealthy individual who was visited by the Rosh Hashiva of Nosson Tzvi, Zichrono Livracha. And Rav Nosson Tzvi was doing his best to solicit a large donation from this individual who definitely had the financial wherewithal to do so, to donate to the Meir Yeshiva, the whole empire of Torah. And he wasn't getting very far. And the Rosh Hashiva said, you have so much money, you're able to give this money to be machzik Torah, what a tremendous zuchus, but what a tremendous achrayas. And there were excuses, I'm worried, what will be? And the Rosh Hashiva said to him, you know, if you don't send your money to the right causes, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take that money away from you. And this rather pompous individual says to the Rosh Hashiva, you don't understand. It's not shaykh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take all my money away from me. And the Rosh Hashiva says, excuse me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could ensure that all your money is lost in an instant. He said to the Rosh Hashiva, it's not shaykh. If all my money were to be invested in a particular company, for example, then you'd be right. Maybe that company would suddenly fold and I've lost all my money. I've got money invested in companies here, there, in countries in America, in Europe, across the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot take all my money away from me in an instant. Said the Rosh Hashiva to him, you're wrong. But even were you to be right, that all of your money could not be taken away from you in an instant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take you from your money in an instant. You might not wake up tomorrow morning. So either HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take all your money from you, or he could take you away from your money. This is the Chayvus Avodos. Somebody who's Beiteach in this tragic story in his hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take the hand away from him as well. I'd like to just read to you one of the final lines in the Chayvus Avodos Perek Zayin. Every one of us, without exception, has nisyonos and has difficulties in life. Nobody goes through life all plain sailing. The avoda, the project that we have undertaken, the one of bitochin, the process of becoming not only a young child into a little boy, not only that little boy into a young adult, but into a mature adult, with that feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really does control my destiny and has the ultimate plan in store for me, and everything is indeed l'toiv, whether I see it or not, whether I understand it or not. Says the Chovas HaLevavos, K'moy she'omar echod min ha'boitchim. There was somebody who was a boiteach b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he once said the most incredible line, and halavai, we should all be zeicha to feel this genuinely. The boiteach b'Hashem said, Loi hishkamti me'oilom. I never woke up in the morning one day thinking, I wish I was somebody else. That's the ultimate level of bitachon. Each person with their peckle, each person with their difficulties, but if I can genuinely say that I've never woken up in the morning thinking, you know, I've got a rough deal, and the grass on the other side of the fence is so much greener, I wish I was somebody else. But if I can genuinely live with that notion of being a baal bitachon, with that sense of everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is indeed l'toiv. I do understand, I don't understand, things are easy or not so easy, but I never woke up in the morning feeling I'd rather have been somebody else. If I can look in the mirror and say that to myself, then I know that I've steiged. I've developed in my middah of bitochin. And the final line says the Chovas HaVovos, Ha'elokim yesimenu min ha'boitchim olov. May indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed ensure and help us, grant us that siyata d'shmaya in order to be a boiteach b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Indeed, we daven for that every day. For those who are boiteach b'Hashem, ala tzadikim v'ala chasidim, and we say, v'sim chelkenu imohem lo'olam. May our chelek be with them. We also want to be that Baal Bitochen and live that tremendous existence of tranquility, of serenity, of feeling that we are B'yodayim B'Kodesh Baruch Hu, Amen, Kein Yehi Ratzon. So we have indeed had the tremendous zechus to go on this journey together to learn the Psicha, Perek Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hei, Vav, Zayin. It obviously needs a chazora, and more than just a chazora. So Be'ezus Hashem, next week, hopefully same time, same place, we will try and, if we can in one vav, really just recap the main yesodos and try and set out really the task ahead. Because the purpose of learning Chovas HaLevavos once is in order to be better prepared for when you learn it second time round. And second time for the third time, and third time for the fourth time, and so on and so forth. I think we said right from the outset, this is not some sort of textbook that you go through and then you get a certificate at the end, I'm a certified Baal Bitochin. Bitochin is a process, as the Chovas HaLevavos has just told us, it's a life's avoida, but what a rewarding avoida it is. So may indeed we be zeicha to see the kiyum of that tefillah that the Chovas HaLevavos indeed himself finishes. May we all be zeicha to be indeed true Baalei Bitochin. Amen v'amen.